What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
Yeah, the Coca-Cola scholarship considers leadership, it considers involvement, and also mm-hmm. academics. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, whenever in my freshman year, I decided to turn away from a math-specific lifestyle and mm-hmm. go more towards like leadership and speech and debate, that's really what tailored me towards the Coca-Cola scholarship like criteria. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what pushed me over the edge.
That is Raymond Jiang, 2023 Koch Scholar and a recent graduate of Jenks High School, Oklahoma. Hello, I'm your host, Venkat Rama. With this episode, we continue a select set of conversations with high schoolers about their outlook for their futures. We are joined by Raymond Jiang, who will be a freshman at Harvard University the fall of 2023. Raymond discovered math early on. He used his math skills to tutor students on the MathLab network and later on a much bigger platform called schoolhouse.world. He started a math club in school in his freshman year that grew rapidly. In addition, he was the captain of the archery team and the president of the senior class. In this podcast, Raymond talks about his passion for math, winning the Coca-Cola scholarship, his college search process, and his advice for high schoolers. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, five highlights from the podcast.
I actually took AP Calculus BC in the eighth grade. And wow. That really set me up for a deep understanding of, or a deep pursuing of the math field. And mm-hmm. so in my freshman year, I did differential equations. And my sophomore year, I did linear algebra. And then my junior year, I actually didn't get to take a math class because there are none in my area. I was far better at math than any of those other subjects I was learning. But I decided, I really had two options. Mm-hmm. I could either go deeper into math and do mm-hmm. math, continue to do math competitions, or I could use it for something else, such as giving back to the community. Journey to the Koch Scholarship came while just looking through scholarships on my my school's scholarship finder, and mm-hmm. then I ran across it, and I asked some of my trusted friends about it, and they all were saying the same things, that this was highly competitive, yet it was an awesome reward outside of the financial compensation. You also get exposed to a tight-knit community. I have an older sister, and mm-hmm. She currently goes to school in the Boston area.
Yeah.
And one of my values is having a close family. I strongly value my bonds with my family and our relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it would be pretty neat if I could stay close with someone from my family. Mm-hmm. I applied to six schools in total, and four of those six schools were in the Boston area. But also take some time to yourself and think about what is important to you. Do you want to invest more time into yourself so that you can become better at math competitions, or do you want to turn that math competition or your math talents into something you could do, like tutoring? It's definitely those questions that I would take a moment to put everything aside and just sit and think about.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For my newsletter, visit almamatters.substack.com. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with Raymond. So without further ado, here's the podcast with Raymond Jiang.
So if you're ready, we can jump right in.
Sounds good.
Awesome. So the best place, Raymond, to start might be to just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I just graduated this year as a high school senior. I am from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I attended a public high school. We're pretty big. I'd say my graduating class is about 850 students. And throughout high school, most of my focus was on leadership, specifically in the tutoring area, math tutoring. So going into high school, I was really involved in a lot of math competitions, but I decided that I wanted to make a use for my passion in math outside of myself and like my own pursuing of my career. And so that's how I turned to tutoring. And really, I just took it from there. All of my extracurriculars and honors were focused on math tutoring and other leadership activities.
So let's dive into each of those. So maybe you can start with, you know, your high school courses and interests beyond this, and then we can talk about your passions, tutoring and math.
Sure, absolutely. So my high school courses, well, I guess I should preface by saying my math education started very early. And so I actually took AP Calculus BC in the eighth grade. And that really set me up for a deep understanding of, or a deep pursuing of the math field. And so in my freshman year, I did differential equations. And my sophomore year, I did linear algebra. And then my junior year, I actually didn't get to take a math class because there are none in my area. But my senior year, I got my license and I was able to drive to my local university and take a math class there. Outside of math, I did a lot of physics. So AP Physics 1, AP Physics 2, and C, all of those. But I also made sure to balance it out with my humanities. So I also took AP Language, AP Literature, and some economics. And in total, I ended up taking around 15, I believe, AP level courses. And that was pretty much my high school education. And outside of that, I did my own ACT prep and my own math course that was hosted on a platform called schoolhouse.world, which I'd be happy to discuss later. It was a major part of my life.
So before we jump into that, any activities in school that you were involved in, you know, community clubs or anything of that nature?
Sure. So in school specifically, I started off my freshman year by joining our school's math lab, which is just our free peer-to-peer tutoring service. And then I continued with that throughout high school. But sophomore year, I started up our school's math club. And so I really got invested into that my junior year, where we originally had 3 years, three members my freshman year. And by the time I was a senior, we had over 150. And so, yes, I was really happy with that. And then also I did some leadership. So I was the captain of our school's archery team. And I was also a senior class president while serving as a class officer for 3 years throughout high school. And then finally I was on the speech and debate team, which I probably find as the foundation for most of my leadership involvement, because it gave me the skills to communicate, which I believe is so vital to my my future. And I totally recommend anybody to take the course or get involved with speech and debate in some way. But I was also the co-captain of our speech and debate team.
Let me ask you this. So, you know, you talked about math, talked about tutoring, so we sort of want to get into that. So did you find that, you said you did AP Calc in your eighth grade, and is this because you felt you were good at it, or there was a passion, or, you know, what was it that was driving you, or did you just discover that you were good at it?
Sure. Yes. So my parents actually put me in a program called Kumon since I was a very young kid, and I accelerated in that pretty quickly. Like I found myself grabbing onto concepts very quickly. I'm also like an early bloomer, I guess. Like I hit puberty really early, and so I think that helped me like get an understanding of these math topics quicker. But I actually completed the Kumon math program, which went up to concepts similar to AP calculus in sixth grade. And so that like made me get like kind of an urge to pursue deeper math in school, like outside of Kumon. And so that's what really motivated me to pass all the math classes to take, end up taking AP Calc in eighth grade.
Why did you turn to tutoring? What was driving you there?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my freshman year, I was thinking about what I wanted to do throughout high school. And I knew I wanted it to be centered around math, because I was far better at math than any of those other subjects I was learning. But I decided, like, I really had two options. I could either go deeper into math and do math, continue to do math competitions, or I could use it for something else, such as giving back to the community. And usually, I think, especially in middle school, I would choose the former option, because math competitions are an environment where you can get exposed to people who just make you a better person through the competitions and such. But honestly, I decided that I was kind of getting burnt out from all the competitions. It was really just practice and practice over and over every day. And so I decided to turn to the latter, which I found incredibly rewarding, not only because I got to use my speech and debate skills through communicating with my students, but there's also just an inherent value to helping someone else achieve their aha moment in their own education. It's like getting to experience learning something new all over again, just with someone else. And you're helping them on their own paths in the process. So I'm really happy with my decision. And I think it really helped expose what my values were through the process.
Tell us a little bit about the whole tutoring framework that you built and reached, from what I understand, thousands of students.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I haven't touched on that yet. Outside of school, most of my time was spent working on a platform called schoolhouse.world, which I briefly mentioned because some of my education was on there. Schoolhouse.world is a free nonprofit tutoring platform, peer-to-peer tutoring platform, that was started by Sal Khan, the CEO of Khan Academy. And I am incredibly blessed by the Lord because my sophomore year, or the summer of my freshman year, I was just scrolling through Instagram. It was COVID. And I ran across Sal Khan's ad to become a tutor, one of the first tutors on this platform. And so I got the incredible opportunity to be one of the first 10 tutors on this platform. And I got to handle the social media side of things. So I was getting to outreach to schools and colleges and state departments of education. And I was able to play a key role in growing this platform to where it is today, which is, I haven't been on the platform in a while, to be honest, but I believe there are over 10,000 volunteers and more than like double the amount of students. And so that's where math tutoring has played the biggest part in my high school experience. I was getting to meet students from India, Malaysia, and all over the world. I was getting to collaborate with the Dean of Admissions at UChicago, and Schoolhouse.World has really brought all these opportunities for me that I am so thankful for. But I also feel rewarded internally, like in my soul, because I was able to give to this nonprofit that is supporting a cause that I support so deeply.
Oh, outstanding. Not often that all these things align. So tell me a little bit about all these students and volunteers that, I mean, were they driven by the same passion as you? What characteristics did you find about your peers and that whole community?
Yeah, absolutely. So at Schoolhouse.World, one key motivator I find, quality I find in all of my fellow volunteers, they are all so humble and they have so much humility in what they do. All of them are like every single one of my peers in my first cohort, they're all so accomplished. Like I can think of three off the top of my head. One is a UI developer at Microsoft. The other is a computer science student at Georgia Tech. Like these are all very accomplished students, yet all of them have the humility to come and use their skills that they already have and give it back to the world. And so even when you talk with them, like you can sense their humility and their passion for what they do. And so Schoolhouse.World has been so nurturing for all of us, because we're able to be exposed to like-minded people who support a similar cause, yet we also make each other better people in the process, if that makes sense.
Okay, so Raymond, let's jump to another interesting and exciting topic in your life, which was the Koch Scholarship. Tell us, from the beginning, I mean, why did you even apply?
Yeah, so I think that for all college or high school seniors, thinking about your finances for college is always an important part of the conversation. And I am no different. And so my journey to the Koch Scholarship came while just looking through scholarships on my my school's scholarship finder. And then I ran across it, and I asked some of my trusted friends about it. And they all were saying the same things, that this was highly competitive, yet it rewarded. It was an awesome reward outside of the financial compensation. You also get exposed to a tight-knit community of similarly passionate and driven people. And so that's really what grabbed my attention. But I looked at the application process for the Coca-Cola Scholarship, and honestly, it's rather daunting. The first stage, like you have to track down all of your volunteer hours from the past 3 years and remember every single thing that you've been involved in since ninth grade. And most students like jump from club to club or check some stuff out. And so it's a lot, and it's hard to keep track of what you end up doing. And so, and that's just the first stage of the process. And so there's three stages total. And the second one is six essays. So that's when you're hit with like, oh, do I really want to put all of this work into it? But ultimately I'm happy I persevered through every step of the way. And honestly, all glory to God in that sense. I don't think I would have been able to be motivated to do that on my own. But ultimately, in the end, I think with my friends and the Lord pushing me, I was able to get through, and ultimately I achieved the result I wanted.
So how was the interview process? How did that go?
Oh, yes. From when I, before the interview, I recall talking to my friend who also did an interview the year prior. Mm-hmm. And he scared me out of my pants because, he told me that it was daunting. Like they would cut you off in the middle of the interview. Mm-hmm. And they would like, cause they have to get through 250 people in the span of like, I think a week. And so each interview is only like 20 minutes. And so mm-hmm. they have to get through things really fast. Yeah. So obviously I was frightened going into it, but whenever I was actually there, I was greeted with smiles and it was wonderful. I mean, the formatting was very standard. I'd say, I had a panel of former Coke scholars and the director of the scholarship committee for my mm-hmm. area, interviewing me. And what I found unique about the interview was they dug really deep into my application. And so schoolhouse.world is something that I consider to be the biggest part of my high school experience. Mm-hmm. But I didn't even get to talk about that in my 20-minute interview because they were just going for the deep, deep parts of my application. So they mm-hmm. were asking about research that I did for 3 months at my local university, which mm-hmm. I consider like almost negligible to my high school experience, yet they still wanted to know about it. Mm-hmm. But ultimately at the end of the day, I believe it was a test to see like if the things you're putting on your application are truly things you were emotionally involved in, rather than just like resume patterns, which I truly appreciated because I find myself to be one to put my effort into every single thing that I do. By the end of it, I felt like content. I thought I did really well in the interview and it did work out for me. And I think they did a really good job of not making me feel uncomfortable at the end.
So let me ask you this. I understand from the numbers about 90,000 plus students apply, some 150 ultimately get the scholarship.
Yes.
So why do you think you were picked? I mean, what do you think contributed to your success here?
Oh, that's a great question. I do think that the Coca-Cola scholarship, the application guidelines and mm-hmm. their selection criteria was very much suited towards what I was doing in high school. There are students that you'll hear of that are like international math Olympiad qualifiers and spelling bee champions. It's actually ironic because there was a spelling bee champion who was actually a Coke scholar too. but most of these students, these high achieving students, are sort of focused in that one area. Yet the Coca-Cola scholarship considers leadership, it considers involvement, and also mm-hmm. academics. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, whenever in my freshman year, I decided to turn away from a math specific lifestyle and mm-hmm. go more towards like leadership and speech and debate, that's really what tailored me towards the Coca-Cola scholarship like criteria. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what pushed me over the edge.
Your college search process. How did you go about that? You know, what were you even looking for and then go from there?
Yeah, sure. So I think I started thinking about college from a very young age because in my culture, like my parents talk about this, they're immigrants from China. And in China, your entire life is based on what college you go to. And so obviously they carry that same value over to the US. And so they tell us from a young age, like, let's try to get you to go to a really good school with a fancy name on it. And I'm going to be honest, I did succumb to that narrative, and I still am involved in that. And so going into my application process, I was like, I probably want to go to a high ranking school, especially because I don't know exactly what I want to do yet. And so going to a high ranking school would expose me to a lot of different resources and opportunities that would help me decide. And so that was a big factor in the colleges that I ended up applying to. But also, I have an older sister, and she currently goes to school in the Boston area. And one of my values is having a close family. I strongly value my bonds with my family and our relationship. And so I thought it would be pretty neat if I could stay close with someone from my family. And so I, I applied to six schools in total, and four of those six schools were in the Boston area. I totally ended up seeing myself in Boston for my education. That was a source of all of my college app or my college search. Would you like me to expand on the process now, like what I did?
I'm kind of more interested. I would be quite interested in sort of seeing. So you picked half a dozen schools in the Boston area. Now, what kind of criteria were you using for those? I mean, what were you looking for in a college there?
Sure. Yes. So, like I said before, my first pull factor was prestige. And that's something I'm not really ashamed to say, because I think that it is important in this day and age to have a fancy name on your diplomas, because it really does give you an edge. Also, some other factors. I feel like I didn't want an intensive environment, one where I could find a solid balance, at least. So I know a school like U Chicago, which has a reputation for being the place where fun goes to die, right? And that's something that I don't see myself working optimally in. Also, I know schools that are they have a good balance, but they're more geared towards the party and entertainment side of things. So a school like USC, which I have a couple friends going to, they're like the life of the party. And for me, I just don't see myself thriving in that environment. And so I wanted a fine balance. And I think that what I was looking for was thankfully the broadest criteria of schools. So schools like Harvard and MIT, they're very intensive academically, yet most students are able to find a good social life. And so, that entails schools like MIT and Harvard, but also schools like Northeastern and Boston University and Vanderbilt.
Awesome. Now, ultimately, so you went through the process. Did you apply to Harvard early, or was that regular decision, or how did you do that?
Sure, yeah. So I applied to Harvard early.
Obviously, your immediate future is at Harvard, and how do you see yourself? I mean, are you feel ready? Are you ready to sort of go off to college and emotionally, psychologically, academically. I mean, I'm assuming academically you feel pretty good. So just overall, how do you feel?
Sure. Yes. So I'm going to be honest. I have no idea what I want to do yet. I think I briefly mentioned that. I've made some small eliminations, but right now I'm looking into a career in like quant. I think I could use some math in that field. But In terms of readiness, I'd say I'm trying to use this last month that I have before I go off to school in a way where I can truly set my values and just find who I want to be emotionally at Harvard. Because I know that there are students who are on the 24/7 grind, no sleep. And I've done that before, but I find myself burning out quite a bit. And then I have to decide emotionally, like, will I be able to comfortably bring myself out of burnout while maintaining everything that I'm doing? Another key thing I'm thinking about is my faith. So I'm a very devout Christian, and I need to think about how God is going to play into my life at Harvard. I know that it's an area where maybe like I'm in Oklahoma, right? And everyone you talk to is Christian. And so going up to Harvard will definitely be a change. And so I need to think about how I can continue to pursue my faith in Christ at Harvard in that different environment. So these are all things that I'm preparing for at the moment. I'd definitely say I would not be ready if you picked me up and threw me in Cambridge right now. So I'm definitely doing a lot of introspection to make sure that I am ready when the time comes.
That sounds awesome. Now, what passion or extracurricular do you want to continue? Would you be continuing your tutoring? Would you be, is that whole area something that you want to continue?
Oh, yes. So I will say right now, probably not. I think that my tutoring phase of my life is behind me, but I don't think that it is impossible for me to go back to it, so to speak. Sure. I think that for me, on my own personal journey, I'm looking at how I can improve myself to, I guess, maximize my output towards society in the future. And so I'm building skills right now while I'm young. And I think that the skills that I learned from tutoring have been, I guess, I've been exposed to them already. And it's time for me to transition to something I'm not exactly familiar with at Harvard. I think at the moment, I don't plan on tutoring or in maintaining my life at schoolhouse.world, for example. But I do see myself, I'm envisioning this part of my life at Harvard where I have an extra space of time and my friend just calls me up and says, hey, I know you took this class before, would you be willing to help me out? Sure. And of course I'd be down to help anytime, but I don't think I treat it as my main focus, if that makes sense.
Okay, so Raymond, we're going to start winding down. But before I let you go, give us some advice. What kind of advice would you have for high schoolers, you know, that will go to college either in the next year or in the next couple of years? But how should they think about that whole process and how should they think about college?
Oh, sure. Yes. So I'd say before you start applying to any colleges, think about what you want and find out what truly matters, not only to yourself, but through your own application. So one of the big priorities that I placed throughout my high school career that I found out did not actually matter in the long run were my AP scores. So it turns out whenever I submitted them to Harvard, they did not even look at them. And so I checked on my portal and I was like, I went down the list. It said extracurriculars received, recommendation letters received, ACT scores received, but no AP scores. And I submitted all of them, but I don't believe they actually consider them. I could be wrong on that. But even if they didn't, you can't get any credit for AP scores at Harvard, and it'll only get you out of a language class if you did an AP language class. And so the amount of importance I placed on my AP tests is something that I found out at the end did not play a huge part in my application process.
Yeah.
So all that to say that maybe ask around and ask your older friends to see what is really important to your application. Mm-hmm. Do some research on that before you make some decisions in what you do throughout high school. But also take some time to yourself and think about what is important to you. Do you want to invest more time into yourself so that you can become better at math competitions, or do you want to turn that math competent or your math talents into something you could do like tutoring? It's definitely those questions that I would take a moment to put everything aside and just sit and think about. Yeah, just a lot of introspection and find out what is truly important to yourself and your application. And past that, it's really up to those admissions officers, which truthfully are very subjective. But if you really put your values in the right place, I have faith that you will land exactly where you are supposed to be.
Fabulous. So Raymond, this exciting and a very inspiring conversation. I thank you for taking the time and sharing your thoughts and insights and your advice for the high schoolers. I wish you all the best at Harvard, and I'm sure you'll do really well, find your calling, and we'll keep in touch and hopefully check in a few years and see how you're doing.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm very interested in seeing myself as well. From that point on. But thank you so much, Venkat. This is, again, it was a lot of fun, and it really is an honor to be on your podcast. Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with Raymond Jiang. Raymond was excited with his skill and talent for math that he gave back in the form of tutoring. He started a school math club that grew from 3 members in his freshman year to 150 in his senior year. He continued to work hard in math through high school, including going to study advanced math at the local university in his senior year. He honed his leadership skills by joining speech and debate. Winning the Coca-Cola scholarship has given him access to a community of Coke scholars who can help and mentor him. I wish Raymond all the best at Harvard University and beyond. I hope this podcast inspires you as you prep for your own college journey. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College Matters.
Alma Matters.